turn to Romans chapter 5. I'm going to read a couple of famous verses. The danger of speaking on famous verses is that everybody already knows them. And they expect what they're going to hear. And they are famous verses. They're verses maybe you've memorised before. They're verses that I've memorised before. And I want to speak briefly about them, but kind of give an application and a context for what we're doing this evening, which is prayer. So I'll just read the first two verses of Romans 5, which say this. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. I just want to quickly point out really two privileges that we have as Christians, two things that that we have that are ours as people who are trusting the Lord Jesus, and how those two things would affect how we pray. I suppose how we'll pray this evening, but also how we would pray at all times, kind of how our attitudes to prayer will be. The first of those things that we have as Christians, very simply, is those beautiful three words. We have peace with God. We have peace with God. There's different meanings of the word peace. I don't think the meaning of the word peace here is the kind of the peace that you feel as an emotion. The Bible does talk about kind of having the peace that passes all understanding. And I think in that context, it's been talking about anxiety and things. Do not be anxious, but you will have the peace that passes understanding. That is talking about kind of a peace that we feel as an emotion. And maybe you've felt at certain times in your life a particular sense of that peace which fills your heart and you have the peace of God within you. This is a different kind of peace that Romans 5 verse 1 is talking about. This is talking about peace rather than being an emotion, but peace in our relationship with God, that there is peace, in that there is the absence of enmity, there's the absence of conflict, there's the absence of strife. You know, the two countries that are at war with each other, there is those things, there's strife and there's conflict, but where there's peace, there isn't those things. And as Christians, we have peace with God. Really, to understand peace with God, the previous chapters of Romans painted a pretty... for the uninitiated, a pretty dire account of the world and of people. We read Romans 1 verse 18, and that the wrath of God, that's the anger of God, is being revealed against people from heaven because of our godlessness, our wickedness, our sin. Romans 1 28, God has given people over to sin. He allows them to sin, and people just keep getting worse and worse and worse and worse. Romans 3, you read on and you read that, well, that's true of every human being. There is no one righteous, not even one. In verse 11, there is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. At the end of Romans 3, 20, we read that there's not even anything we can do about it. No one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. We're enemies with God. Our natural state is that there isn't peace between people and God. We're his enemies. And it's our fault because of our sin, our godlessness, our wickedness. It makes God our enemy. And yet, as Christians, we can have peace with God. And that peace with God comes through our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who has exhausted all of God's wrath, all of God's anger against our sin, by being punished for it himself. Because of what the Lord Jesus did on the cross, in bearing our sin, in bearing our sins in his body on the tree, God can justly say, my anger against your sin is exhausted because I have justly dealt with it. I've punished it. I've punished the Lord Jesus. And so I no longer need to be wrathful against you. There no longer needs to be a sense of you being my enemy. There is peace between us. And when it comes to prayer, we need to know that. That's kind of the first step in being able to pray to God, is having peace with him. If God was still our enemy, then there'd be no chance of us being able to gather together and pray and ask him for things and offer him our praises and those kind of things, because he'd be our enemy. You know, I don't imagine any of you have particular people that you think of as your enemy. It's probably too strong a word for any relationships that you have. But if you did have an enemy, you wouldn't waltz into their living room and start asking them for things because they are enemy. But no, we can have peace with God. That's not enough, though, is it? In order to gather on an evening like this and bring our petitions and our requests to God, our pleases to God, as we're going to do tonight, in order to say that we're spending time in his presence and he's here with us, there needs to be more than just peace, though. The guy who lives two doors down from me, so next door but one, I can't remember his name, which is strange, I can't ask him his name because he's been my next door but one neighbour for 2 years. I can't even ask him his name. He's not my enemy. I don't know very much about him. As I say, I can't even actually remember his name. I've said hello, you know, as we go in and out of the house and those kind of things. He's not my enemy, okay? But I wouldn't just waltz into his living room and start asking him for things and deciding I was just going to spend time with him in his house. And because even though he's not my enemy, even though there's peace between us, there needs to be more than that. In order for us to do what we're doing this evening, there needs to be more than just peace between us and God. And, as you read on, Romans 5, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, but more than that, through whom we have also gained access by faith into this grace. More than just peace with God, the Lord Jesus gives us access to God's grace. The Lord Jesus is the ticket, I suppose, which gives us access to God's bountiful, infinite grace. I've heard a few definitions of the word grace. Some of them are really helpful. I don't know if this one was designed for children, but you can use it with children. It's to use the five letters in the word grace and say grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. You've heard that. That's quite a good definition, I think. God's riches at Christ's expense. I've heard a kind of a juxtaposition of grace and mercy, which kind of seeks to distinguish between them by saying that mercy is not receiving bad things that we deserve, so not receiving punishments or whatever that we deserve, whereas grace is receiving good things that we don't deserve. That's a good definition of grace as well. And I like to think of grace as God's lavish generosity. Mm-hmm. It's just God, the nature of God, which just loves to pour out good things. Lavishly pour out good things and be generous to people. That's God's grace. And through Christ, we have access to that grace. God's grace, which means that when he hears us pray for somebody who's ill, in his grace, in his lavish generosity, he may answer and he may heal that person. Or God's grace, which causes us perhaps to fill our hearts with that peace that we talked about earlier on and gives us that real sense of the peace of God in our hearts. God's lavish generosity, which just loves to pour out good things to people who don't deserve it. I'm going to do something now which all preachers and speakers do, which is steal an illustration. All preachers and speakers don't do, maybe because they're not brave enough, is steal an illustration from somebody who goes to the church that they're about to steal the illustration from. So Roger, I remember when we had our mission week, he used this illustration, which really struck a chord with me. You know, 6 months on, I still remember it, and it's been on my mind a few times since then. He talked about a painting which had been painted of the Niagara Falls. Maybe you remember if you were there. And it was an anonymous painting which was donated to a gallery, if I'm remembering rightly, of the Niagara Falls. And of course, you know the Niagara Falls. I don't think it's the highest waterfall in the world, but it's the one with the most water. I think that's right. And I don't know how many thousands of gallons of water pour over it every second or every minute or every hour. I have no idea. But it's the most water in the world and an awesome spectacle. The water just keeps on coming and coming and coming and coming and coming. And anyway, this painting was anonymously donated to this gallery, and because it was anonymous, it didn't have a name with the painting. And so the gallery, or whoever had received it, had the task of coming up with a name for the painting, this painting of Niagara Falls with all its water. And the name they chose was this. They named the painting More to Come. More to Come. Because in the Niagara Falls, there's always more water coming. For as long as it's there, there's always going to be more and more and more and more and more water. Now picture the Niagara Falls as flowing with God's grace. There is always more to come. And through the Lord Jesus, who is our ticket to access that grace, we actually can stand in that grace. That's what it says, in this grace in which we now stand. Imagine I mean, you can't imagine it, because in real life you'd be crushed to death in about half a second or something. But imagine standing at the bottom of the Niagara Falls in the water, which is just pouring and pouring and pouring, and then picture yourself standing in God's grace through the Lord Jesus. We can stand in his lavish generosity. And so when we pray, we can pray confidently. Of course, reverently. Of course, with a respect and a humility of who God is. But we can pray confidently, knowing that through the Lord Jesus, through what he's done to us, adopting us into God's family, we have access to that grace. And in fact, we can stand in it without any shame or without any fear. So praying, well, peace with God, but so much more than that, access to God's grace. And as God hears our prayers this evening, hears our requests and petitions, whatever they may end up being, he hears them, and that access to his grace comes through the Lord Jesus and all he did.